Hi guys, it's Sean here. We recorded this week's podcast, and unfortunately afterwards I realised I'd made a monumental mistake in that the Audacity hadn't quite told me which microphone I was using. So we've recorded the entire thing on my laptop's terrible microphone, which means it's probably not quite the quality we'd like. Unfortunately, we're not going to sit down and speak for another hour and re-record the whole thing because there's not much point, really. It's a little bit tinnier than we like. I've done a bit of cleanup, but there's a few clicks and pops. I'll make sure next time that the thing is actually recording properly before we start. So yeah, shitty audio. Woo! Catch you again.
And here we go. There you go. Let me start. Done. No, that's right. Still got horribly wrong. Okay, we're starting from now. So this is the fourth podcast. How do we start with these things? I don't know. Podcast the fourth, Esquire, Bonds,
yeah.
BSC.
Yep.
We've been busy. I've been busy. I had a stag do. I've been visiting family and stuff. But you've just been busy.
Sat on my ass. Doing work.
Getting your ass crease settled into that chair.
I was doing artwork at some point.
Good times. This week's podcast is sponsored by Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey and Cola, which they've started selling in tins. And it's pretty much the brand X of colas they've used. I can tell you that. But the Jim Beam is good.
Okay. So you can taste the Jim Beam.
Mm. Who's my new friend? I don't talk to Jack Daniels that much these days. We had a falling out.
Did you actually have a falling out? Or was it just a case of insist on selling himself as such a high price these days?
No, I think it was that time that he almost killed me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Good times.
Yes.
I changed my friend after that.
Okay.
We have an agenda of sorts, I guess. in that Guardians of the Galaxy is the best film ever.
Yes.
And that's
I am Groot.
Pretty much the entire conversation, I think, is going to be.
Yeah.
So we saw it the other day. I like the Avengers, I quite like the Marvel films in general. I'm not a Marvel fan, I'm a DC fan, but
I'll happily sit through a Marvel movie.
I'll sit through a Marvel film, you know, and walk a lot, come out the other side of it thinking, well, that was a film.
Yeah.
It was alright, you know.
Pictures that moved, pictures that's normally a good
didn't,
sign of
didn't films. Really want to watch them again more often than not.
You've seen all three Iron Man movies, the Captain America one. But you haven't seen the Thor stuff, so
no, I'm not too desperate to watch that.
Yeah, I watched it, but then I think compared to the other movies, it's more chick flicky. Just because it evolves for was kind of bumming around the house of some random Earth woman for however long the movie runs, and then suddenly Loki.
Yeah, who's apparently played by Tom Hiddleston, who makes girls everywhere wet their panties.
Mm-hmm. Or something.
I don't get it myself. Yeah, what's the appeal then? Because he's just a fine-looking man.
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
I suppose he's more interesting than Thor is, because Thor's big blokey man who does all the Viking stuff, and Thor is. I guess it's because he's Loki is the more the twisted sort of sympathetic character that grown women's like going more at, because he's trying to live up to his brother's shadow and stuff.
Yeah.
He's a Draco in leather pants, if you follow TV tropes.
Yeah. What's that in reference to, is that?
I think it's more a case. Well, it's more a case of you have this villain character, you're obviously not supposed to like him because he's a bit of an arse, but all the women end up flocking to him because he has Wubby appeal.
And then you. I don't know what Wubby is.
Again. It's the slightly downtrodden, sad character that everyone wants to just give a hug to.
Okay. But Draco and leather pants, I presume, refers to all the fan art.
Yeah, partly because people
Draco and Malfoy, just topless, wearing leather pants.
Yeah.
Or trousers, as we would say.
Yeah.
This is a good start. But yeah, I came out of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And definitely probably in my top 10 films.
Yep.
I now don't really want to acknowledge it as a Marvel film, but it doesn't feel like a Marvel film.
Not compared to the others, they're sort of more tongue-in-cheek, whereas the others kind of take themselves a bit more seriously.
I think I like that. It's got a sense of humour to it, itself, and characters are likable.
Yeah, so far your description of it is it's a weird fusion between outlaw star and red dwarf.
A dwarf, yeah. Before we get on to Guardians of the Galaxy, actually, probably would be a good time to talk about Outlaw Star, since that's the one that we've been watching a lot of. It seems to be just one of those periods of time where we're watching a lot of stuff that's very thematically similar.
Space operas.
Space operas, in particular. I went to Forbidden Planet the other day, and they had the entire season, 26 series run of Outlaw Star, which was an anime that used to air on Cartoon Network's Toonami regularly. And it's about a... would you call him a rogue?
Well, he calls himself an outlaw, so I guess because it's called an outlaw star, he might as well just call him an outlaw.
Yeah, okay, so an outlaw called Gene Starwind, who's kind of learning the ways of space pirates and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
He's finding his place in the world, and he comes into possession of this amazing ship. And suddenly he finds himself the head of a crew, and, you know, he's got a little sidekick called Jim Hawkins. And,
yeah. Well, he had the sidekick before the show started.
Yeah.
He just kind of acquired Jim.
Quite Jim. Well, they acquired each other, I think. They're kind of double act, really, aren't they?
Yeah.
You, I think Jim looks after Gene just as much as Gene looks after Jim, really.
Well, Jim seems to hate Gene. It's kind of weird.
In fact, compared to Guardians of the Galaxy, I suppose they are the Groot and Rocket Raccoon of the series.
Basically. Well, actually, I'd say Groot and Rocket Raccoon actually liked each other, whereas Jim spends half his time on screen just screaming at Gene because Gene's incompetent and a womanizer.
Gene's an idiot.
Yeah.
No, you got the sexy female character who's also the ship's navigation computer.
Like, arguably, all the female characters in that show are sexy in some way.
Yes, but I was going to introduce them individually. So you've got the sexy one who's also the ship's part of the ship, basically. She's inside this tube naked for some reason.
Well, I wouldn't really describe Melfina as sexy because it sounds like she's trying to make herself seem sexy on purpose, whereas really she's kind of the... softly spoken, kind of shy kind of woman who just kind of is there and she's not quite sure what she's supposed to be doing, but she's just kind of following everyone.
I think her background is she's a science experiment or something, because she's actually part of the ship, because they realise that the best navigational computer you can get is a person.
Mm.
You know, you never replace a computer with a person, so they thought, well, we'll just genetically grow a woman to be designed to pilot this ship.
It's just like a bio-android, isn't it?
Bio-android, that's it. They find her in a suitcase making.
Mm.
As you do. Although apparently in the original Funimation run, they actually added like a bra and pants to her, so she was
probably because that's the kind of thing Funimation does. Or did back in the day.
And then you got two, like there's Aisha Clown Clown is like a cat girl.
Yeah, cat girl.
Yeah, with superpowers. She's like super strong and the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Twilight Suzuka, who's a samurai.
Who uses a wooden sword, because that's how badass she is.
Yeah, because wood can't be detected through metal detectors, so that's how she gets it past security. But she's got this weird quirk where she can only kill at twilight.
Well, it's people she's actually supposed to be murdering has a contract out on in whatever way, then she can only murder the Twilight.
Oh,
she did actually try to...
She can kill anyone anytime she wants, but specifically the people she's paid to kill have to be killed with Twilight.
Yeah.
And it's never explained why. I think it's just her thing. She's like, I've got this nickname and I've got to keep up the whole pretense of this badass assassin who really kills at Twilight.
I think she was, that would help her stand out despite the fact that she's, you know, samurai woman with a wooden sword in this space opera-y future thing. They're saying that all the space pirates are kind of dressed up like Chinese sorcerers or something, so it's all a bit weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of kind of different influences on that series, definitely.
Yeah.
To be fair, the wooden sword thing, I think they do explain in the series that it's been honed with lasers or something, so it is actually like razor sharp.
Oh, okay.
It's like refined to a microscopic point sort of thing.
Okay.
So it's not just literally a wooden sword she's carved, I think this is one that's been...
But it does go and imply that she has some sort of superpower or energy control or something, because some of the stuff she does with that sword is she's like crushing people against walls with force blows and
stuff. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's a lot of magic in it, even though it's a sci-fi series.
Mm.
But I like the way they can use the magic in terms of... There's this gun called a caster gun, and it's the best, one of the best kind of creations I've ever seen. It's like this massive gun with runes all over it. That Gene pulls out whenever there's someone a bit too strong to deal with normal guns.
Yeah.
And they use these incredibly rare shells called caster shells that are about the size of like a shotgun shell. And he loads it in and it's got like a magical spell attached to it. So he fires it and it just... It's usually this all-powerful spell that just decimates the opponent, like, sucks their innards inside out sort of thing, all the rest of it.
Well, it depends which one he's using, because there's different types, isn't there?
And you can get duds as well. So sometimes he fires it, it's like, it's a dud! There's usually, there's ongoing plot elements where they're trying to find more caster shells, because it keeps burning through them, because every episode there's, like, a new villain to deal with, and more often than not, it's too strong to...
Yeah.
But, I know you mentioned on the, like, the Chinese elements, because obviously the pirates, they're very kind of... Their ships are styled around, like, Chinese temples and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, everyone seems to be dressed in kind of robes and... So they're like mages, and they do cast magic, the rest of it you see them doing the chanting, but at the same time you've got dudes with, like, laser swords and...
And more robots and stuff like that. And all those battle spaceships will have grappler arms. So
oh, I like that.
That's kind of cool.
Because they don't use... You can have laser guns on a ship, but they found it's probably cheaper just to have arms on the ship, and then you've got literally, like, hand-to-hand combat going on with these spaceships.
Yeah, rest in spaceships.
And then they realise, well, hang on a minute, if we've got arms, then we don't need to worry about mounting the guns onto the ships themselves. We can just have them carry a big kind of assault rifle.
Yeah, that actually...
So you've got these spaceships with two arms hanging off the side with a big, like, gun in one hand sort of thing, and maybe a shield or a sword in the other. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It just completely adds a new twist to the whole space combat thing. You don't just get these ships kind of firing forward and kind of like, you know, we'll walk to Spitfires anymore. Suddenly you've got a bit more of a... kind of a sword fight going on instead. But how much Outlaw Star have you seen? Because I've seen...
Well, you did show me the entire series a few years ago, but I didn't get to watch it on the initial run because my parents didn't really approve of me watching cartoons when I was little, so... And by the time Adult Swim came out, it was, the time was clash with all the stuff my dad wanted to watch, just because I had to watch what Dad was watching, so... Or what my mum was watching, more often than not, so...
I know we're getting back through this video, so I think we're on episode 5 at the moment, 26.
Yeah, I think so.
I know at some point they'll come across the plot to find the Galactic Ley Line.
Well, it's been mentioned a few times, but they haven't actually decided to go for it yet.
Which is a mysterious kind of point in space and time where if you find it, it gives you whatever you want.
Or something.
Like a magic wishing well sort of thing.
Yeah, maybe.
You get there, and because it's at the centre of all things, you can... do whatever you like with it, so you can be all powerful, or you can have access to all knowledge, or you make wishes on it or something.
Yeah, it's basically the ultimate treasure, but they haven't really gone into explaining what it is yet.
And even when they find it, I don't think they particularly explain what it is. It just suddenly goes a bit Final Fantasy in terms of... In Final Fantasy, whenever you encounter the final boss, everything feels a bit weird, like they're suddenly in a different dimension, or everything feels like it's... You know what I mean? Like, Final Fantasy VII, they go into a cave and suddenly, like, there's swirling green light everywhere, because it's a little bit
because all
random.
The makeup was all over the place, so in Final Fantasy VIII was, like, time had collapsed.
Time had compressed, so all the buildings were slightly different. We had floating castles and space and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think the same happened in Final Fantasy IX. Final Fantasy X, you're inside a beast, but everything felt like it was, like, an entire landscape, because it was made of memories or something.
Yeah.
All the memories the beast had consumed had suddenly become the environment you're running through.
Yeah.
So you're suddenly fighting the main character's dad, who's like this big giant monster, and it's around him is pretty much the scenery of where they came from. You know, this city that disappeared 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It feels a bit like that, the entire Final Earth, so...
Yeah.
Because they're in this mysterious dimension, I guess you'd call it.
Hmm.
It feels a bit dreamlike, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I highly recommend Outlaw Star. It's probably one of the... In many ways, I do like it over Cowboy Bebop, but in some ways, it's not as good.
I've seen more Outlaw Star than Cowboy Bebop. We've got the DVDs of that, so we should probably finish watching it at some point.
It's from the same people, so it's all pretty good. The animation's pretty top-notch. I know there's a couple of episodes where it's a bit duff.
Yeah.
We had a different animation team on it. Then they had something stupid like 26 different animation teams.
Maybe. Something like that.
We worked together in different... Yeah. Cowboy Bebop's another good one. That's kind of a space opera as well, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, it's
a different sort,
opera.
But that's more kind of mercenaries, job of the week sort
of
thing.
Well, they're bounty hunters trying to collect people, but at the same time they're visiting these different planets as they go along, and it's quite interesting. There's at least one where they're in a space station that's a giant casino, and then they end up having battles on top of a spaceship out in the middle of space, and it's all kind of cool like that.
A spaceship in space?
Like, it wasn't docked anywhere, it was just out there. They were trying to do a deal and then So they were just there out in space somewhere where people wouldn't be able to stop them.
I think one of the things behind Cowboy Bebop is every single episode is kind of has a different musical style attached to it.
Yeah. Well, the episode names are all based on music as
that's
well.
That's it.
Like My Funny Valentine, the thing. So I think the movie was like Stairway to Heaven or something, wasn't it?
That's it. I mean, a couple of episodes for me stick out. It's like Pierrot Le Fou, or whatever it is, crazy dude.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's this guy, it turns out he's like an army experimental, gone wrong or something, where he's the ultimate assassin. But he's cracked and he spends most of his time in this rundown fun fair like the bloody Joker or something.
Yeah.
But he's got this big fat suit on, but it's actually got like anti-gravity properties and stuff. But that's quite an interesting one.
Yeah, cool.
And I remember there's the one where there's a train chase or something, where the target's on top of a train or something, and it's the end episode, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because the cast of Cowboy Bebop is very different from Outlaw Star, isn't it? That you've got everyone's kind of no, it's very similar in terms of all the characters are kind of apathetic towards each other, but at the same time they're part of a team, like a family sort of thing, maybe?
Sort of, because at the beginning it's just Spike and
Jet Black.
And they've obviously been together for years as kind of like a, I want to say father-son sort of relationship.
Yeah, maybe brothers, I'd say.
Maybe more brotherly.
Like older brother, younger
brother.
Jet Black's an older dude who used to be a private detective or something like that.
Yeah.
He's got a mechanical arm, and he runs the ship, which they all live on.
Yeah.
You got Spike Spiegel, who's just a bounty hunter, he's just cocky, and he wears a suit with the sleeves rolled up.
I'm not sure you'd call him all that cocky, because he's kind of quiet most of the time. He's just kind of... He knows what he's doing and he's confident.
He knows Kung Fu.
Yeah.
And you got Mae Valentine.
Valentine was Yu-Gi-Oh.
Oh,
Valentine, they end up meeting because she turns out, she's kind of like this, she starts off as a crook with all these gambling debts, and then she notices that Spike and Jet are making all this money doing bounty hunter, so she thinks, that's what the money is, and then she ends up kind of, at first she just kind of keeps turning up and she's getting in the way of their crimes. At some point she ends up joining them properly.
Yeah. And at some point they pick up the declared Cuckoo Lander child, Ed, who no one's entirely sure if it's a girl or a boy, isn't it?
I think it's a girl.
I'm pretty sure it's a girl. A girl called Ed, who's the crazy hacker genius who just says odd things, you know. It just comes out of these random...
Yeah, she's like... I want to say 9, but...
That's it, I think she's about 9.
Yeah.
And then there's the dog, which is, Ayn.
It's like a super genius, but
super
a dog.
Genius dog, Corgi.
Yeah.
Fantastic, I love that dog. But every single episode is a different, kind of different thing of the week entirely in it, so...
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of two-parters where they keep theme going over the two episodes, but otherwise, every single episode is different. I mean, there's an alien episode where something that Spike's left in the fridge grows into a life form and slowly starts, like, eating members of the crew or something. No, poisoning them.
Yeah.
So you touch it and you get poisoned.
Okay.
But it's implied that it might be a fever dream.
Maybe.
From eating some bad food out of the fridge.
Probably.
Because then it just cuts to them docked in a port the next episode. Sort of
thing. Most episodes, the big thing is that they don't have any food, so they need to try and catch the bounty just so they can afford to eat. But most of the time, I don't think they actually hand in the bounties all that often.
Well, there's usually either a conflict of interest, so it turns out the guy that they're chasing is actually innocent, or and they you know, Spike's like, well, we'll let him go and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But there's some space combat as well. I know Spike's got that really ultra-fast ship. Like, his little nippy one. I know there's an episode based around that. And just a very, very good episode, you know. I think this is top-quality anime. If you're not into anime, this might change your mind.
Yeah.
Same with Rockstar, actually, a lot of people. So they're pretty down-to-earth, you know. You don't get any of the wide-eyed kind of underage sexual fantasies you get in a lot of other things, sort of thing.
No.
Does that make sense? You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, anything out of Japan is well known for being completely crazy, so I think most people, when you say Japanese anime, they imagine something like Excel Saga, which is just completely crazy.
Well, I don't think it's even that. It's more a case of if you think about going to a like, comic convention, and you think of the anime or manga booth, and it's all these girls in frilly dresses with the wide eyes with blonde hair and pigtails and stuff like that. That's kind of what I associate with like being the face of manga. And you're like, oh, that's not necessarily what it's about. You know, you do get some good stories being told with these things.
Yeah.
Because
the most prominent genre within manga tends to be the magical girl stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Which I never got my head around. It's not
like that's girls with superpowers. Mm. Something creepy old men can perv over, while like girls can feel slightly empowered by it because it's girls in cute outfits and kicking ass.
I never understood, like, Sailor Moon, for example. That's kind of similar.
I really enjoyed Sailor Moon as a kid, but these days I can't really watch it because obviously the dubbing is just how Serena's squealing like mad all over the place, and I can't sit through an episode anymore.
So yeah, highly recommend Cowboy Bebop. Actually, the other thing is that I know one of the ideas behind Cowboy Bebop was that it was slightly based on Bebop the Third, that they've got this crew that works together. You know, they're all criminals to a certain extent, and they do jobs together, and every week's a different job. Mm. In fact, I don't know, there's one episode where they explicitly have, I think there's like this genius 13-year-old kid or something they're chasing, and he's dressed like Lupin the Third.
Yeah.
He's got the green outfit on, the yellow tie, the black shirt, so.
Yeah.
But it's just a shame that Lupin is not really here off across the pond.
No.
I know in America they dubbed the entire second series, whatever it was, or most of it.
Yeah.
But they haven't released it in this country.
No, they didn't.
I'll keep an eye out for it. I'm still, you know. I was collecting the manga, but apparently that didn't sell very well either, so I was pretty much the only person buying it. So,
yeah.
I think now it's extortionate. If I want to buy the rest of the manga, I've got to pay like £75 or whatever it is, because it's all kind of ultra rare.
Yeah.
That's the anime stuff. Anyway, that's not beating around the bush on that. I suppose we better get back to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
So, spoilers, I guess?
Yeah,
spoiler warning on this, because we're probably going to end up talking about...
Yeah, probably end up dissecting the plot or something, because we did really enjoy it, and there's probably a lot of themes we could probably talk about.
So, if you haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy, stop the podcast, just drop whatever you're doing if you're on the road right now, just get out of the car and
just do a U-turn on the motorway, go to your nearest cinema and just sit down and watch it.
It's 2 hours well spent, probably a bit longer than that, actually.
It's like an hour 20 minutes or something, so it's pretty standard run time.
I don't know.
I was looking up at it, like it was an hour
it 20 feels like 5 minutes though once you've got off the ride.
Yeah.
So it starts off with, I can't remember what the kid's actual name is.
It's Peter, isn't it?
Peter.
He's so good at being bad.
I know it's Chris Pratt is the name of the actor.
Yeah.
It's Peter something or other. It's a kid called Peter. His mum is dying of, I presume, cancer or something.
Yeah.
So you get this very fucking teary scene, you know, where you're sat there going, oh, this is horrible, because the entire family is around. She's like, Peter, take my hand. I love you. And the rest of it. And then she dies, and he runs outside crying his eyes out. And is properly abducted by aliens.
Yeah. Well, you don't even see if she does properly die. It's all, she flatlines it, and suddenly there's a rush of activity that they... The granddad pushes the kid out of the room, says, stay here, and he goes back inside, and the kid just kind of freaks out and runs out of the building.
I think it's heavily implied that she's...
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised if she is.
Yeah, she's probably gone.
Anyway, cut to about, what was it, 30-odd years later?
Well, the moment he runs outside, he gets abducted by aliens, and then we cut to 30 years
later. Yeah, so he gets abducted, I've already mentioned that, then.
Yeah.
He gets abducted by aliens, which is not probably the best... You know, all the luck, you know, your mum's died... You could now get to live your granddad and stuff. He seems like a nice guy, but it's probably not what you really want. And then aliens abduct you.
Yep.
And then it cuts 30 years later, and there's this guy in a kind of futuristic mask wearing a long coat, dancing through some ruins to... Is it 10cc? It starts off with 10cc, and then it moves on to maybe another song.
Yeah.
But the soundtrack's pretty much just 80s pop. The best of, you know, fantastic soundtrack. I put it out for it then.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're going to sell it on iTunes or something.
Yeah, so are you.
He's just dancing between the rocks, and then it goes into a Raiders of the Lost Ark thing, where he's trying to get this what do they call it?
It's an ornate sphere.
The sphere.
You don't find out what it is till later in the movie, but at first it's just this, it's kind of an ornate sphere, made of metal, it's got kind of, I want to say runes on it, but it's actually just kind of detailed artwork. So it just wraps it, and it turns out everyone wants this thing.
Or everyone wants him, because then... I'm not going to go into details, because there's not much point in this in describing the entire film, but suddenly he's got Rocket Raccoon and his pet houseplant Groot, who's this 6-foot-tall tree man, chasing him, because they realise that he's got a bounty on his head for 40 grand. Because Star-Lord, which is what the kid calls himself now, has now double-crossed his former employer/mentor over the deal.
Yeah.
And then through one reason or another, and then there's like the big baddie, Thanos.
Well, Thanos is the big baddie, but he's not. He doesn't actually care that much in the movie because he's doing all this work through this guy called Ronan, who's also supposed to be really scary.
Ronan and the Accuser.
Yeah.
I believe is the original comic book name for him.
Yeah.
He does accuse a lot.
Well, he's supposed to come from this race that has this very strict belief system, and so he goes out punishing anyone who doesn't actually follow this one belief system. So.
Yeah, and the background behind everything is there's these two planets who've just had a peace treaty, but Ronan is from one of the planets, and he's not happy at all.
Yeah.
In fact, he doesn't really specify why he's unhappy. He's just like,
well,
we don't like them.
The people on the other planet doesn't follow his belief system, so therefore we need to reply because religion.
There's probably some sort of modern commentary there somewhere.
Probably somewhere.
I'm not even going to poke that.
No, let's ignore that.
Given the recent political events.
Give the evil eye and pass it by.
But I'm sure that was probably intentional.
Yeah.
And then working for Ronan, you got the two daughters of Thanos, who's the big bad. We only see 5 minutes of it, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
One of them is played by Karen Gillan.
Yeah.
And the other one is Gamora, who's the green chick you see in all the posters.
Yeah.
Don't know the actress's name. My brother knew it yesterday and kept using it. Zoe something.
Mm-hmm.
And then she ends up after the sphere as well, because she wants to take down her dad. Because Thanos isn't actually her dad, is it? He's just the adopted father.
Yeah, basically Thanos goes around murdering hundreds of people, and then every so often you might find someone who thinks, you know what, I like you, I'm going to adopt you, turn you into a weapon, and then you're going to come work for me.
Yes.
And the people who turn into weapons don't actually kind of like what he's done to them, so they end up at some point trying to betray him in some way.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm just trying to think where we got to. So we've got basically this team now. Oh, and we also got. So the team ends up in prison.
Yeah.
Through various hilarious.
Yeah, they don't actually become a team until they wind up in prison, which kisses their thing. Why better team up so we can get out of here?
Where they run into Dave Bautista.
Yep.
Who, for a wrestler, gives a fantastic performance.
Yeah, he does.
You know, usually with wrestlers, you get kind of like a cheesy element to it, where they're not quite given the same level of performance. But Dave Bautista's fantastic.
Well,
he plays
they're
Drax
used to kind
Destroyer.
Of building up to the camera for the wrestling stuff, aren't they?
Yeah. But he's, I mean, when he delivers a line, it's not it's not covered in, like, the wrestling things, like, I'm gonna do you, he's not hamming up, he's just delivering lines like he's a big badass.
Yeah.
So that's Drax the Destroyer, and they all work together to break out out of this prison, and it kind of goes from there, because they're all after the sphere, because they all want a big payoff, or...
No, they've got the sphere, they just want to set it off the huge money it's worth, like $4 billion or something, I think.
And then Ronan gets his hands back on it, and they have to work together to save.
Because it turns out that the thing, it's not the actual sphere they're after, but the thing inside the sphere, because it's actually a containment device for one of their, was it, gems of...
The jewels, jewels of destiny or something.
this is how much we don't follow a Marvel, because these gem things are supposed to be there's supposed to be like 7 or something of them, and they all go into a gauntlet and give the person who wields the gauntlet ultimate power. That's why Thanos wants it.
Yeah, I know in the Clark comics there's a big plot line where Thanos gets this gauntlet with these 7 jewels in it, like the mind gem, the power gem, and all the rest
of it. Time gem. Basically, it's one of those.
it's power gem or something, isn't it? Because it just destroys any matter it touches or something like that.
Any organic matter, anyway.
Yeah, so you get images of someone like smashing it on the ground, and the entire planet it sort of just erupts into purple flame.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool. I probably be a lot of Marvel fans would dispute this, but I suspect that the power source that is in
Gem of Infinity.
Gem of Infinity. No, possible. Infinity gems.
That's it. Yeah.
That's it. But what's the Tesseract?
Yeah.
Has that got one inside it?
Well, I think that's somewhat a fan theory, is that it might actually be one of these gems.
You crack it open, it's got a blue gem inside it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, because I don't know if the Tesseract's actually... It starts off in the fourth canon,
I think that's what Loki's staff was supposed to be having in it when during
mind
the
gem.
Avengers.
That's
it had
it.
The mind gem in it. That's why all of a sudden getting all hypnotised and stuff.
Yeah.
Because Loki is actually working with Thanos as well, because I think some of the people you could see... working with Thanos was actually someone who made a cameo in the Avengers movie when Loki was talking to them.
Oh, okay. Cool. So it's all coming together then.
Yeah.
I guess there will be a Avengers Guardians of the Galaxy crossover at some point.
I'm not sure about that, but we'll see.
I think that's what it's kind of going to build up to.
Probably, maybe. They might turn up. Cool. Some of the characters might wind up turning up, depending on what panels that ends up doing.
I mean, I know Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is already being made, or it's in the planning stages, because they obviously teased it at the end of this one. Spoilers. But the burning question on everyone's lips, I guess, is since the ending credit sequence featured Howard the Duck, are we going to get a Howard the Duck film?
Because that's what everyone wants.
My brother asked me yesterday, he's like, what happens in the ending credits of Guardians of the Galaxy? I'm like, do you really want to know? He's like, yeah, I want to know what amazing film they're teasing. I said, it's just Howard the Duck. His face just dropped from the floor.
I can imagine it.
He just said, Howard the Duck. I was like, yeah, voiced by Seth Green. And he's like, I'm not sure I want to see this film.
Yeah, Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck. I want to see a Howard the Duck film.
Yeah. Well, you like see a Howard the Duck film that isn't the George Lucas one from however many years ago.
I'd watch the original George Lucas Howard the Duck film. I love terrible films. But I'd like to see what Marvel would do with a Howard the Duck film, because considering the source material is usually like an R-rated comics. I mean, Seth Green's perfect really for that sort of material, I guess. R-rated comedies and all the rest of it.
I might just been a silly joke that decided to throw in at the end because, anthropomorphic animals.
We don't have anything to tease, so we'd better just throw in a fan character or something.
Yeah, I tend to think it's more like what they were going for than whether or not there's actually a Howard the Duck movie in the works.
I doubt it.
And again, the next big Marvel one's Ant-Man, isn't it? So who knows?
Yeah, I wouldn't be in a rush to see Ant-Man. No. Unless it's a tongue-in-cheek comedy that's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or something.
Yeah, I think we'll wait until the first reviews start coming out for that, obviously.
Cash out Netflix.
Yeah, probably.
But, Guardians of the Galaxy, very well written. It's got a very good sense of humour to it, I think. It's tongue firmly in cheek.
Yeah.
It takes itself seriously when it needs to, but the rest of the time, you've just got these colourful cast of characters that have been thrown together and they've all got snarky remarks to say to each other.
Yeah.
And like,
plus Groot is like great all the way through it. Despite the fact he can only say 3 words.
Yeah, spoilers, he does say 4 words by the end of it.
Well, he says 5 by the end of it, but...
Oh, yeah. He does say 5.
But it's basically a running theme what he's been saying for the entire movie.
But the best scene in the entire thing, they're inside Ronan's spaceship. And there's all these guards everywhere, and Groot just basically sticks one of his branches through, like, 5 of them.
Because basically he's a tree man, and he can just grow plants around him and stuff.
So he sticks his tree branch through 5 of these dead, undead zombie men, people, guards. They're supposed to be...
Were they? I thought they were just generic guards that
they're called necro-guards or something. I assume they're undead kind of warriors or something like that. Sticks his arm through 5 of them, and then he starts mashing the entire regiment against the sides of these walls. He's going,
it's basically his Hulk moment.
Drops everyone on the floor, and then just does the cutest turn to the camera with these great beaming kind of watery eyes. It just seems so happy.
Yeah. He has the best expressions because he looks so cute, or like slightly old, wise man half the time. He's a scary guy, but at the same time, you just want to give him a hug.
Yeah, he seems so adorable.
Yeah.
He's almost like he's out of a Disney film, really, in terms of the being like this kind of wonderful, whimsical tree man who has fireflies in his branches and he can light up the area, or he can become a protective cocoon over them.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. And he's got so much emotion behind those 3 words as well.
Yeah.
Every time he contributes to a conversation, he's like, I am Groot.
Yeah, I guess every time he gets into an argument with Rocket Raccoon, it's because all he says is these 3 words, but Rocket spends the whole entire argument with him.
Yeah, it's like it's a two-sided argument, but one of them pretty much consists of, I am Groot, but Rocket's filling in the words like, yeah, I know we have to go back for them, but we'll be killed.
You go get the thing, then. Whatever.
It's brilliant.
Go
see it.
Yeah, definitely go see it.
Just try to think of any other moments worth mentioning. I mean, there's some good side actors as well. Peter Serafin, Wix, I can't remember how you pronounce his name. There's a surly kind of guard character.
Yeah.
There's the guy who voiced Wreck-It Ralph, who's another one, the security call. The guy whose family is at the end.
Oh yeah, that guy.
He voiced Wreck-It Ralph.
Of course he was.
Glenn Close is a minor role as one of the officials.
Yeah.
Who else is in that? Oh, Benicio Del Toro is the Collector. That was a weird one.
Yeah, that's a bit weird.
He's done his hair white and he's got a bit albino for the role.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm sure these are all characters in the Marvel series, but it's just a weird and wonderful kind of trip, really.
It was.
In space. Well, we've got half an hour, folks, so what else do we want to talk about?
What else have we been doing for the last 3 weeks or so?
I'm still playing Murdered Soul Suspect because I'm a moron.
Well, you're just trying to get all their achievements now.
I'm just trying to collect everything. Yeah. It does stack, but because it doesn't tell you what you collected on the run before, you've still got to pick pretty much everything out of it.
Yeah. Fun times ahead with that.
Fun times ahead with that. I'm just trying to think what other games are coming out soon.
Oh, you've gone back to Sims 2, which we should be playing.
Oh, I
want to
talk about that because, the video for this, like, assuming everything goes to plan, is going to be just a video of me playing one of my old Sims 2 files. And it's quite surprising, actually, because EA Games were notorious for being ruthless bastards who just kind of force you to pay for extra content and overprice everything.
Money grubbers.
They've actually realised that maybe if they start releasing some stuff for free, they might, you know, get back in the game's favour.
Yeah.
So more recently they did a limited time only. You can download the entire Sims 2 collection for free, which was amazing because I still got my old Sims 2 file, save file, so I just copied and pasted that from my hard drive.
So that one we had almost all the DLC except the apartments mod. So
yeah, we had
all
the expansion
packs.
We got everything now.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's in all the expansion packs. I think we got up to about 7 of the 9 expansion packs.
Well, there's two types of expansion packs. There's the stuff packs, in which case we only ever bought one. And then there's all the actual proper expansion packs that has all the new content in, which we had everything bar one.
Okay.
And I think there's like 4 of each.
Yeah. Well, we got all the stuff packs in as well, because that came with the download. But that's amazing, you know, for a company like EA, who tend to charge you for everything, have just given away the entire Sims 2 collection. I guess it's because they don't support it anymore.
Yeah.
So as far as I'm concerned, if it breaks, you know, it's not...
You're
on your own. I don't think the servers are up anymore for the custom content, but to be fair, I didn't download that much custom content, even when they were active, because more often than not, it would break.
I think most of the custom content I ever downloaded was more for the Sims 3 than the Sims 2, anyway.
Sims 2, the only Sims 2 custom content I've got is the official stuff, like the hot rod they did.
I think we downloaded some Christmas stuff.
Yeah, but it was all official EA.
Yeah, all official EA stuff. It was randomly Christmas stuff, and I don't think we ever really used it, so it was just there.
Well, every time it turned winter, because we had the seasons pack.
Yeah, but again, like, that lasted something like 8 Sim days or something, so whatever.
I've always been a big fan of The Sims, but it's one of those games like Minecraft, where I'm always a bit reluctant to touch it, because it sucks all of your time into it. And you look up and you've spent 8 hours, and what have you actually achieved? Oh, they've got a new pond, maybe, or a new gun. You're watching these people wash and clothe themselves and take a dump and go to work.
It's one of those things where people play The Sims for different things. Like, some people just use it purely for all the architect stuff you got in there. So you get people doing nothing but building amazing buildings. And there's the people who make all their Sims really super social, see how many friends they can get, or how big the family tree they can get, which is what I always used to do. I think you just always try to see how much money you can get.
Yeah, I always kind of focused my energies on this one character called Ernest E. Ville, who's basically a stereotypical 1950s villain. He's got the mustache, the top hat, the black suit. And my goal was to just get as much cash as possible. Although my goal always is to try and always get the elixir of life, because I always like to extend their life within the, you know, context of the game. Because you can turn off, in Sims 2 they added dying, basically. Because in the original Sims, your Sims would last forever until either they drowned or set themselves on fire or something else.
Mm. Sims aren't very good at keeping themselves alive, really, are they?
No, not really. Not unless you've got like a fire alarm to hand.
Sprinklers and such.
In fact, within 5 minutes of booting up my old save, Ernest has managed to set fire to his study with his train set, which I'm still not sure how you managed to do that.
But maybe that's what you need to do next.
Put a fire alarm in.
Not even that, just get one of the sprinklers from the university pack that's shoved out above the
I didn't even realise they had those.
Yeah, I forgot they were there, but they came in the university stuff pack. Well, not stuff pack, the special pack.
I will look out for that.
Yeah.
That's really useful. But my favourite expansion pack was the business one. Yeah. What was it called? Just
business stuff.
Business.
No, not business stuff. Sims Open for Business or something like that?
That's it, Open for Business, where you can set up your own businesses in town.
Yeah.
And the only problem with the concept is that it only really works if you're selling really expensive items.
Yeah.
Because I quickly realised that the only business that seems to make any good money is the car dealership business, where every single item that the Sims buy is $9,000 a piece sort of thing.
Yeah.
And even then, you're probably spending about $6,000, because you're probably selling about 30%, 7% over the value of what the car is. So it's costing you $6,000 a time, so you're only making about $3,000 a time on those items.
Yeah. Still quite a bit of money, though.
But I spent a lot of time having to build up this car dealership business, and...
You might make some money if you just... If it's one of the businesses where you have to craft stuff at the flower shop,
but
you have to spend time actually getting their skill up in that particular thing before you start making money.
And you can have home businesses as well. I know I had quite a few of those. There was the Pratt family who had the electronics shop. But the only annoying thing about home businesses is you can't visit them with other Sim families.
Yeah.
Which is why it's better to buy a plot of land somewhere and then put a business on it and have them go to that, because then other families can visit that business. That was the only thing that always irked me about the home business stuff, is that it's great, you can make some money selling out the front of your house sort of thing.
Yeah.
But no one else can visit that. You kind of have to wait for them to come along while playing as that's in.
Yeah.
Because like I had Geppetto, the toy shop owner, and he was slowly building up like these wares outside his house and the rest of it.
Yeah.
But couldn't obviously sell them to anyone unless they happened to walk by the house and take interest.
I don't really know what kind of expansion pack they eventually added to Sims 3, but if they did a business one for that, it'd probably work a lot better.
Yeah, because then you can visit any plot. I mean, that's the one thing I did like about Sims 3, was that you could walk around town, basically. You know, the lots were all joined together into one big kind of open sandbox.
Well, there was quite a few good features in the Sims 3, but I know you ultimately prefer the Sims 2.
I do, yeah, because it wasn't one of the things about Sims 3 that the families kind of do their own thing while you're...
Yeah, well it's because you can visit any part of the town, that means that all the Sims have to carry on when you're not playing them, so that means you go play with a different family for a while, come back, and you find these Sims have all gotten married, had babies, and suddenly in a completely different place from where you left them.
Which I find really annoying.
I kind of like that thing, because obviously I'm there trying to increase my family tree when I play, rather than trying to operate a business or whatever, so I kind of like the fact that that cousins and family and stuff can go off, get older and do their own thing on the other side of town. I don't have to worry about bumping into them like 3 generations down the line and finding that they're actually younger than their nieces and nephews.
I don't like the fact that the game plays itself correctly, though. It's kind of like...
No, it's kind of weird.
It's nice if you're there, but we don't really need you to play our game, so you carry on and do whatever you like. The only character I ever made on The Sims 3 that I genuinely enjoyed playing as was, I think I made a character who was basically a Philip Marlowe, Sam Spade detective.
Oh yeah, because one of their careers was the whole detective thing.
Yeah, they added detective to it was a special career though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a special career.
It's like a self-employed career.
Well, we had I think we had two of the expansion packs. One was the holiday stuff, and one had all the new careers and stuff in it.
But it wasn't like a proper career, because the careers in Sims 3, they still go to work, but there's actually a place for them to go to work, isn't there?
Yeah.
So if they work at the science lab, you see the science lab up on the hill or whatever it is, and they drive up there. Or if they work at the police station, there's actually a police station they drive to, and you can see the building, and it shows like a little speech bubble above it saying that your Sim is currently here.
Then,
what do you want them to do? Chat at the water cooler, you know, do this, do that.
Yeah. Improve their skills.
But there was a special... The Pro Detective was one of the special ones, wasn't it, where you actually had to make them do things.
Well, yeah, it was basically like being self-employed, wasn't it? So rather than going to a building, you just make them go to places, and there'll be a sort of... I want to say plot chain to follow, but it's not quite a plot chain.
Like, they pick up the phone and they say, okay, you've got a new job, and then you need to go spy on Miss Sim, or you need to go root through their trash or something.
Yeah, I want to hire you for a case, and so you go out, talk to the people and say, well, something was stolen, you'd better go and talk to these suspects, and it kind of follows it from there.
I just really enjoyed it, because I had my private detective living out in the sticks with his run-down old car and the rest of it. And then you find himself in situations where he's like peeking through the window of someone's house at 5 o'clock in the morning, because you can't actually ring the doorbell till 6, because he won't answer before then.
Yeah.
And you're just scoping the area out, and then you ring the doorbell, and you walk straight in, and you're like, I need to ask you questions, and I don't know who you are, why you're in my house. And then I'd go in and harass the baby randomly.
Yeah, as you do.
Because private detectives are dicks.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that, if you play it as the private detective simulator, but...
Yeah.
As a
that type of expansion pack has some other weird stuff in it, like the hairstylist, and you could be like interior designer, and I can never quite work out how to do the interior design stuff properly, because... if the sim would give you some criteria for what you want, then you go and try and build a room to that specification, but then they seem to be grading you on stuff that wasn't actually part of the thing, and so that you could do an incredibly nice room and say, no, it sucks, go away.
So the objective was a bit vague then, in terms of what they classed.
It'd be something like a case of, okay, we want a child, this is a room for our child, we want some toys, a mirror and a bed, and so you do that, try and put some nice wallpaper on and stuff, and then they say, no, it's terrible, get lost.
I'll tend to crack the Sims 3 out at some point just to see if my. I think I've still got my save game for the Pro Detective. I'd quite like to have a little bit of a replay on that and see.
Yeah, I think I didn't really enjoy about the Sims 3 was that you could create your own neighbourhood without downloading something else beforehand, so you could put another additional tool, so. You'd have to be stuck with the stuff they came up with.
I know you did make a neighbourhood, though.
Yeah, but it was really difficult to do, because you actually had to use their proper creative tool that was downloaded extra, and you could never quite get the roads to fit properly, and you had to try and work out where the lots were going and stuff like that.
I mean, The Sims 2 had the very lesser-used feature, didn't it, of you could actually make maps in SimCity 4 and import them.
You did that a couple of times.
I did that a couple of times, but it was fiddly as hell, because more often than not, a bridge on your SimCity 4 file would not quite match the length of bridge you required for Sims 2. So suddenly you'd have a road that would actually go under the terrain, or a bridge that didn't appear because it wasn't quite long enough.
Yeah, but when you first load up the game, you have a choice of using the free neighbourhoods that ship with the game, or you could use a custom sort of map that... There was a big list of sort of terrains you could use, and the point is every single lot that would then go down would be something you've created yourself, whereas you could do that in the Sims 3, you'd be stuck with Max's main stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of annoying. But then, trouble is with building your own neighbourhoods is that I've always found one a bit ambitious.
Yeah.
So, I was looking back through some of the areas I created on the Sims 2, and I can see where I had plans that for every single lot to be filled up, but it would have taken... a year to build all the buildings to go in there.
Yeah.
Really, I'm tempted, if I do get back into playing it, I might just create a new kind of neighbourhood for all the city areas.
Yeah.
And just kind of make it so it's all around one area. A smaller
mass. Well, I noticed what I've been doing on my custom neighbourhoods is that I make a couple of houses, and then I just copy and paste them around the places, and then you have an entire neighbourhood.
Well, that's fine for the housing estates, because obviously the houses will be the same.
Community lots that are a bit...
But the community lots is where it gets fiddly, because, ideally you want a nice big city, but for you to create that city, it's going to take you a month of Sundays unless you start using downloaded creations and stuff.
Well, it kind of depends what you actually want in your city, because if you have a big list of specific types of buildings you want, then it'll take you ages, but if you only want a couple, then it won't take quite so long.
And also, it depends what you, how you kind of do what you do with the buildings, because really, you want to... It was murder on the older computer, because what I tend to do is I try and have one lot which catered to fun, and then I have another lot which catered to food, because that gives you an excuse to move the Sims around.
Yeah.
But on an older computer, like my old XP box, it would take you literally 10 minutes each time to load a new lot.
Yeah.
So... it was made more sense in terms of cost and efficiency to have just one lot which had, a restaurant area and a fun area and all the rest of the stuff
that
Sims need to have dates and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But then you're not really making the use of the space, because really you do one separate area. Which is what the Sims 3 did very well, because obviously, because it was one big integrated map, you did have a restaurant area, and then you'd have to go somewhere else to the park area to get some fun and go on the swings and stuff.
Or arcade or whatever. Of course, Sims 4 is coming out soon, so we'll see if we end up getting that.
Suspect you'll probably end up picking
that. Yeah, I think I'm going to wind up getting at least the base game. I don't know if I'll bother with all the expansion packs. It kind of depends how much I enjoy the base game.
Did the Sims 2 have a magic pack?
Yeah, well, the magic was part of apartment stuff, so you have witches and spells and
right.
stuff.
I
think you had to actually woo the witches first.
I did notice a couple of witches hanging around my art gallery the other day when Ernest was trying to sell some overpriced bloody art stuff. And these random witches turned up at the bottom of the steps. So I was like, okay, that's random. I mean, vampires I'm quite used to, because obviously we had the
vampires. Yeah, vampires and werewolves, and robots and plant sims. We had those.
Yeah, we had robots as well. It's quite funny, because we used to have we had a communal map, didn't we? Which was,
Well, you let your...
random Velostrich. Which is great name for a town. And then I know Parker moved his a lot to my area, because he was worried about his Sims getting killed by
werewolves and vampires, oh my.
And trolls, because I don't know, I think Ross and Si went on there once, and they just covered the entire city in aqueducts, so you couldn't actually see anything.
Yeah, they did.
So the Sims are in there somewhere, but they're underneath all these kind of terrain features. So Magnus Keel ended up moving into...
Pleasant. Well, it wasn't Pleasant.
No, the Payne Islands.
Payne Islands.
Or Port Payne, or whatever it's called at the moment.
Well, I think it started off as Payne Islands, but then you end up having a Port Payne for one of the other neighbourhoods attached to it.
Yeah. The only problem he found after he moved into my neighbourhood is that suddenly all his Sims would be spending all their cash on cars. So he'd come back and they'd have like 500 simoleons left, even though they're one of them is a sea god or something, and the other one's a superhero. They only had 500 simoleons, and he'd look at their inventories and they'd have five supercars or something. He's like, damn it, Sean, stop selling them cars. I'm like, I can't help it. They're loyal customers. They keep coming back and they keep buying stuff.
Even though they don't need it.
I did notice something unfortunate the other day, and this was a complete accident. Accidental racism. I mentioned this to you the other day, didn't
I? Yeah, your mascot for, what was it, the car dealership?
The car dealership's got a gorilla mascot. So that means that one of the employees walks around in a gorilla suit. Fortunately, the only employee that walks around in a gorilla suit is a black dude. And I just looked at it, I thought, what the hell am I doing? What was I doing as a... How old was I, 14 or something when I made this?
Probably
15. Did I not pick up on how racist this is how horribly... I got these two white dudes, and this is one black dude in a gorilla suit. So that's going to be changed. I think the old dude's going to have to wear the gorilla suit.
Yeah.
And the card chap will be allowed to wear some sort of fine suit.
He'll be able to actually work behind the table rather than dancing up front for...
Well, he's not dancing. I'm not degrading him. He's restocking and he's selling. He's actually on the floor selling.
But
the gimmick is he's wearing a gorilla suit, because that's what
it is. A gimmick.
I think the gorilla was called Honest Ernie or something like that.
Yeah. What exactly was the car dealership's name again?
Honest Ernest's Car Dealership.
Oh, okay.
Because he's not evil. Even though his name's Ernest Evil.
Yes.
So I think that's probably what the video is going to be about. Annoyingly, even though my laptop's more powerful than my XP computer ever was, apparently, because I've got an integrated chipset, what the hell that means, all the textures for the neighbourhoods are just horrible kind of straw grass effects.
Yeah.
But I can't really justify getting a gaming computer because the laptop doesn't play most of it.
Yeah, plus we've got nowhere to put it, really.
Well, if we get a new house, we can always look at that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind that too much. Just have a gaming computer that we can share or something.
Yeah, just for gaming. Although we don't really play PC games, we're console gamers.
It's true, I mean, we do have... Minecraft just about runs. I know my laptop struggled with it at first, but it turned out I need to update the graphics drivers or something.
Yeah.
And thank you, Samsung, for having custom drivers which don't actually get updated, so I'm stuck on like version 10 or something with the custom graphics set. I do occasionally get a glitch on like shotguns and things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, something to consider it.
Yeah.
I mean, the laptop's getting a spike at the moment.
Yeah, for the moment.
It's always useful just to have it there, just in case you do want to play a PC game.
Yeah.
It's usually so low res like Papers, Please, Minecraft.
I'm sure there's some advantages to having a proper home PC rather than just using laptops for everything.
I was surprised they last this long. I know the average lifespan of the laptop's about 2 years. I think mine's going on 2 years now.
Yeah, mine's probably close to that.
But I've already decided that if my laptop does not, I'm not getting Windows 8. Refuse to. I'll get a laptop and I'll wipe it and I'll put Linux on it.
Okay.
Because it's just cheaper and makes more sense. You can get Steam for Linux now.
Uh, Maybe, fingers crossed, by the time the laptops do die, they'll be bringing out the Windows 9, which will trump at home Windows 8.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know what the Windows cycle is.
Can't get worse, right? yeah. Every other computer's terrible. So XP was fine, but Vista was terrible. There are some detractors who argue that with Vista it was good if you updated all of it.
Towards the very end, after they
ironed
out most of the bugs.
No, that's the same with XP, though. XP was terrible when it first came out.
Yeah.
And then XP really, really became stable, which is unfortunately why it's the most popular operating system still, even though it's out of service.
Yeah.
And then after Vista, it was 7.
Yeah.
Which is excellent.
Yeah.
And then it's Windows 8, which is designed for
tablet PCs.
And doesn't work on a laptop at all, really.
Yeah.
They added the start button, but it doesn't do what start button's supposed to do.
No.
Just brings up the icons.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do when they get around to doing Windows 9, whether or not they'll actually stick with the tablet thing or not.
They'll stick with the tablet.
Probably. Despite the fact that there's a million people that are saying, no, we don't use tablets.
I think it's because touchscreen laptops are coming into fashion now.
Yes, certainly.
You get these foldy ones where, if you don't need a keyboard, you fold the screen like that. It just turns into a stand for the touchscreen.
Yeah.
Which is another argument for us to get a gaming PC, really, because then it's, you don't need touchscreen stuff.
True. Do a whip that out one day.
Yeah. We've got 5 minutes left, so might as well just do some plugs, I guess.
What have we been working on recently, then?
I haven't been working on this, because I've been busy getting drunk. Oh, that's not fair, actually. Chapter 3 of the Two Doctors World Tour has finally started.
Yeah.
With my excellent friend Jason McFadden.
Yeah.
He's actually declined to upload the pictures to his Demon account for some bizarre reason, so it's all going on my account. I think he's got a lot on with him, so he's just he's trying to separate from the artwork, I guess, so he just wants to.
Yeah, maybe. I guess he sees it more as a hobby now, because he tried selling commissions and stuff, but I think I was the only one who ever bought anything off him. I don't think he ever actually had that many commission slots being sold.
It's very difficult to kind of get into self-sustaining.
Yeah, it's something you have to work on anyway. You can't quit your day job and go straight into doing commission work. You have to save up a bit first.
And also, you kind of need some industry experience before anyone really takes you seriously in that
sort
of thing.
Yeah, it's one of those things of it's who you know rather than what you know.
That's it.
At least to start with.
Basie's contributed some excellent pages, so I'm looking forward to getting these up. I need to get to work on getting the rest of the story finished, because
I'll have to actually get around to colouring the next lot of Loom stuff as well, because it's all drawn out, it just needs, to look good.
And then you've got a load of comic stuff you're working on, which we're not at liberty to discuss.
The secret project of secretness.
Secret project of secretness. but it's looking excellent. Actually, a bunch of my old scripts are actually getting used, which is nice.
Yeah.
And I might actually have to sit down and write some more stuff at some point.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying. I haven't written anything for ages, but.
Well, you did a bit of Tales of Sin the other week, but that's something we still need to polish up, and I've done some of the artwork for it, but it needs polish.
It does need polish. That's in quite fun as well.
Yeah. So we got projects.
We have projects that we're working on. Oh, well, I'm working on not necessarily a secret art project, like I said, I can talk about. I've got a paint your own grommet that I'm working on at the moment, which I'm going to do a blog on at some point. I'm not even discuss what I'm. Actually, Ernest Evil is probably a good hint. If I say I'm making him look like Ernest Evil. We've got 3 minutes to film. Do a song, dance.
Maybe not quite song, dance.
When do you plan to. Should we just get together and I think we decide we're doing these whenever we've got something to talk about, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got some reserve items we can talk about, but I don't think there's any point in us cramming them into podcasts and arguing about it. I mean, we just filled a half an hour talk about The Sims.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising. It's been a few years since the last time we played it, really, though.
Oh, I do love The Sims, though.
Yeah, I am kind of looking forward to The Sims 4 now, despite the fact that I haven't actually read that much about it. It's just. I only know about the Creator Sim stuff at the moment, and that does look promising, because for the first time you can actually change body shape and stuff.
Yeah, so you're not just...
They're supposed to be smarter, although that's dubious.
Smart as your average toast for oven.
Yeah. But so long as they're not getting stuck behind armchairs and stuff, I suppose that's good.
That's probably a good thing. I mean, I tried playing SimCity 4 a couple of months back. No. It lasted for about an hour, and I thought, oh, I forgot why I stopped playing this, because it's so bloody boring, you know.
Yeah.
Putting up electricity pylons and zoning areas and, boring.
City planning, the game!
I mean, it probably would have been better if I had the expansion pack, where you can just nick a car and just drive like a madman across the city.
Yeah.
That would probably open it up a bit.
Probably.
That's cool. I think we'll just end it here.
Yeah, might as well. I've run out of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, it's good. Go away. Catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.